This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What's the tip?
Big boy in a fifth.
Forget it. The fifth goes off at three. We going to the track?
You're listening to Race Day at Fairmont Park on lineupmedia.fm.
And it off.
With a different story on every face.
I'm going to Hawaii! I'm going to Hawaii!
It's falling back.
I'm not going to Hawaii!
Will they make it through?
I like the two horse. It's got front wraps.
Big money on the four horse.
I like the six. That's the horse. That's it.
I always bet on five.
The number one horse.
I like the four. Number four. Four.
I like the six.
I like the four horse.
And you lay your money down when you cross the line.
Here comes the champ. I mean it. You are the champ. Believe me, you got more guts than you got sense. I love it.
Now your host, Jono Kabinjian.
Welcome back, race fans, to another great show here at FairmontParkPodcast.com. And I got a special guest for us today, 31 years at FP Fairmont Park. That's my Howard Cosell, by the way, Bobby.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Racing director. Now you're a racing judge at Fairmont Park. And you set the morning line, which, by the way, that's what I really wanted you on the show for.
Butcher me about the morning line.
Yeah, I mean, just a friendly conversation argument, you might say. And you set the morning line there. Wow, 31 years there, buddy. It's amazing.
It's a long time.
You've seen some good horses and some crappy horses during that time, too, I must say.
A lot of variety.
a lot of variety, yeah.
I think the horse of the year ran here many years ago, Ron. I think the year after he won the Fairmont Derby.
Right.
I think the following year he was voted the older horse of the year.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, at Fairmont Park. And it was a real muddy track that day, too. Yeah. They still ran it. I mean, they could have said, you know what? We're not going to risk any injuries.
Right. Not show up. Yeah. Scratch out.
Yeah. We're going to scratch. No. These people hung in there. And
I remember a friend of mine was in the infield. There's a new lawyer in town. There's a new lawyer in town.
It was like old school, wasn't it?
Probably the best night I've had at Fairmont Park in my 31 years.
Wow.
Night of the Fairmont Derby with Lawyer Ron.
Well, we haven't had Lawyer Ron type of horses come through recently, though. And you do make the morning lines. And I've been one of your critics on this, as to
say. Occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. And I've brought up that the fans out there, they find a way to get manipulated by the morning line. I mean, it happens.
Right, and you put more credit into it than I do, I guess. But I guess they think it's an expert's opinion of some sort.
Well, Bobby, can I interrupt you real quickly?
Well, you did.
Because you'll see it on programs. They'll say the selections.
Right. And I think I think some tracks, they'll have the handicapper selection, but don't necessarily reflect the morning line. You know, they know you might have a horse that's 2-1 on the morning line, but on the bottom, he's not on top. So there's a different way to do that. You know,
right.
We just go where, you know, I think it's a little misinterpreted, you know. Maybe someday I'll figure out a way to change that language on the bottom, you know, where it doesn't say handicappers selections.
Right. So that kind of contributes to
the
what
influence.
I'm saying as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, the influence, yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Well, I said then, you know, people, the morning line, you know, obviously the object of the morning line is for the person doing the morning line to anticipate how the public's going to bet the race. Not necessarily who he would think should be the favorite or second choice or third choice. It's how the public's going to bet the race. So if I have a horse 8-1 on the morning line, you know, and he goes off at 2-1, I did a bad job.
Okay.
You know.
So, and what's the system that you go with?
Well, it's all a mathematical system. You know, for every odds, there's points assigned. And you have to be within a certain barometer. like I think the math is, you go over like 117, which has to do with the takeout on win play on the win bets. So it's 117 plus the number of starters. So the points have to be right within that ballpark, you know, within a couple of points. So for instance, 2-1, 33 points. 3-1, 25 points. So you just can't make a generic line because, you know, to be correct, you have to be within that. To do it correctly, you have to be within that that number range.
Okay. One might ask, what's this, what's so important about that anyway? What's so important about making the morning line
well,
like that?
Well, because just to make it correct, because after the race runs, if you add up the points assigned to the odds after the race, they will always be within that barometer. So you're not making this, that's not a fake line, basically. It's, you know, it has to be mathematically correct. But after every race across the country, it'll always be, you could always add up the number assigned to the odds plus the number of starters, and it'll always be right around 123 points. So that's the correct way to do it.
And that ends up being 123. It's
117 plus the number of starters.
Right.
So if there's 10 starters, it'd be 127.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is it much easier for you to give these odds with the numbers on more horses in a race or less horses in a race?
Well, it makes no difference because it always has to add up to those points. So sometimes, you know, when I first do the line and then I'll add up the points, I could be, you know, I could be at like 138. So I have to make some corrections. So we have to determine what horses to correct. You know, so that means you have to put some horses higher in odds that you initially had. You know, it has to be correct, or you make the horse that you made the favorite. Say a horse at 3-5, or maybe I'll make him 4-5. You know, so but you have to be in that price range, that number range, to do it correctly.
Okay, I'm on that side that says you influence the bettors, and so my point is, what if I just started everyone off? I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. What if I just started everyone off at 99-1 then? Morning line 99. I'm saying it'll never happen or anything like that. But let the bettors bring the horses down and vice versa. I mean,
then why do a morning line? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if you have it, you know. But
okay,
I say
once the
bettors make their bets, it'll always come out to the same formula. That the whatever odds that the, when the race goes off, whatever the horse's odds are, you accumulate the points assigned to those odds, and it'll always be within a point or two of that range.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you know. I see what you're saying. And
yeah.
What I'm saying, though, is
I mean, every racetrack starts off with a morning line, so like that's where like the influence might come in, you know.
Right.
And sometimes it's difficult, you know. I mean, there's some races that are, I think about 2 weeks ago was the hardest race since I've been here doing a morning line, to do a morning line on.
Let me guess. Yeah. Let me guess.
Probably what's a maiden claim in Illinois, made 4,000. Yeah, there you go.
Holy cow, dude. I'm telling you, that is unbelievable. Yeah. And then you're looking at a
horse. But you have to do it. You know, and it's going to come out that way on the final board that it's going to be within that point range. You know, I could have a horse that ran in the race, got beat 20 lengths, and I'm making them 9-2.
Right.
You know, it's like, wow. Yeah. You know,
and I'm handicapping that, and I'm going,
yeah.
How the hell did he make this 7-2? Right. But then I look at the other 6-7 horse. I go, well, they all look the same. Yeah. I got this horse finishing 7th 3 times in a row, is now going off at 7-2.
Right.
And I'm like,
what
the hell just happened here?
I know.
Am I missing something?
Right. And sometimes they're really, really difficult, you know. And I just got to always watch where I don't put my, you know, personal opinion in it sometimes, you know, for,
tell us,
you know,
a
maybe
about
certain, maybe
about
certain
that.
Trainers, you know. You know, how much impact trainers have on how the public's going to bet. You know, obviously, you know, we have some trainers that, you know, every time they have a horse in, they're like odds on favorite pretty much.
Right.
And some trainers are, you know, they're not as successful.
Yeah.
You know, they might have a record of, you know, 40 starts with one win. So, you know, but the public might see that last line of that horse differently than maybe I do.
Right.
So I have to take out my personal opinion sometimes.
Right.
And, yeah, that's like the, you know, the friction. I don't get into the riders as much as, you know, I think a lot of public does. I think there was a horse the other day that was, you know, I had him 15-1.
Wait. I think I know that
you
one.
You might know that
I
horse.
Think I know
yeah,
that
it was,
one.
It was a fishy story involved in that,
yeah,
right. Wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, well, that was a trainer that owned the fishing pond, and we had a We had a jockey that liked to fish
Right.
And I said, well, why the hell are you on this horse? He's horrible looking. Yeah. He goes, I fished there.
Yeah, the horse went off at 18 to 1 in the same race last time, and now he's like 7 to 1 or 8 to 1.
Right.
And I'm up there in the stand looking at it. I said, why are they betting this horse down, you know?
Right.
Because I believe, I guess my personal opinion, you know, I know jockey changes are, you know, somewhat significant, but I still believe it's like 85, 90% horse.
Do you go that high?
I go that high. Yeah.
I don't.
I go that high on the, you know.
I would go that high if I'm talking like Saratoga or I'm
talking.
A lot
of good riders.
Yeah, or Santa Anita, Del Mar. I would look into what you're saying there.
And it may be more significant at a racetrack like this, but I think if you take up the wins with Molina and Santiago, mm-hmm. I think they've won like almost 60% of the races. And that's, I mean, you don't see that at other racetracks. You
so
know.
That does come to play, though, here.
It does come to play here, you know. But sometimes they're on a horse, like, you know, that little story from the other day, you know, it's like, even though I saw Santiago on the horse, I'm thinking, I still can't. You know, he might be worth a point or two.
I snoop around and had to make my call and find out. Why are you on this horse?
But the public reacted to it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And there was the horse went, you know, he was went off at half to what I had on the morning line. So
that 85-90 then, you're kind of saying maybe that's a little too high then.
Right.
For a track like this.
Right.
Maybe good jockeys get a little bit more notice.
Unless you see a significant difference, you know what I mean? You know, where if you have a rider that has a real poor racing record, you know, and then, you know, you're going to the top rider. Well, I would put more credence in that. And the other difficulty is sometimes, and people aren't totally aware of this, where, say Molina was on two horses that are in the same race, and he rode them both the last time.
Uh-huh.
And people think that he picked the horse.
Right.
You know, they think they picked the best horse. But that's not always the case, because what people don't know, because sometimes he's obligated to a trainer more so than the horse.
Right.
You know, even though the horse he picked, you know, should be looks worse in the race than the other one, but sometimes they're obligated and they give first call to certain trainers.
Right.
So that's a little, you know, the deception that the people say, oh, I think he's picking the best horse. Not all the time. Maybe most of the time, but not all the time.
And again, I think that falls into the realm of bigger tracks again. I think what you just said, that jock's agent is looking on the heads of how many horses that barn's got.
Exactly.
And if he's got like 200 or 100 or whatever, he's going to ride that horse.
Right.
Because another day to eat, too.
Right. He's got first call for this guy. So, you know.
Right.
So
right.
There's some things that the public aren't aware of, I think. You know. And the other thing, I guess, when they're looking at the line, the other thing obviously that affects the line is scratches. You know,
sure.
Because them points have to go someplace. You know, so, you know, like if a favorite is scratched, you know, where I might have a horse 5 or 6 to 1, he might go down to 2 or 3 to 1 because this 4 to 5 shot is out of there. You know what I mean? So that's not a good way to compare the morning line to what the actual off odds are.
All right. Now, Bobby, you've done racing director. You're now the judge at Fairmount Park, the racing steward there. Is it a little easier now than what you had it as a racing
there's no comparison with the amount of stress that was involved in being a racing secretary.
Right.
It starts 4 weeks before you open up, and it just keeps on going throughout the year. You know, I know quite a few people out there, and a lot of people have, you know, mentioned that they don't see the stress lines in my face.
Yeah. You know. And you told me you were going to cut down on smoking. You haven't done that, though.
That's something else. Yeah. But I'm working on it, you know. But, you know, being a steward, a lot more stressful. Obviously, the job of the stewards, which we call judges, you know, are to enforce all the rules and regulations adopted by the Illinois Racing Board. But, you know, obviously during the races, we're upstairs watching the races and watching for any riding infractions.
Right.
So
how much do you guys put into a rider claiming foul and you haven't seen it? I mean, it kind of almost contradicts the judges, and it almost like makes the judge, in my mind,
correct,
makes you guys think, hey, you know what? We didn't see anything. I don't know what the hell you're bitching about.
Well, like during the course of the race, we have, you know, there's three stewards watching the races. Usually two are watching with binoculars, you know, watching a pan shot, and then one's sitting and watching the head on. throughout the race. So obviously something could be missed, you know. And sometimes, you know, before the, you know, we're taking three or four or five or six looks at it, you know, while they're coming back before, you know, we would hang up the inquiry. And like the outriders, you know, they're in a situation where they're where the jockeys pull up, you know, after the race where they gallop out, and it's for the jockeys to tell the outrider that they would like to claim a foul. You know, so there's a little time that goes involved, but like you're speaking, you know, like you said, it's if there's an objection, especially if an objection turns out to be where there's a disqualification, there should have been an inquiry.
Right.
You know, but say sometimes there's a timing element involved.
Okay. You know. All right. How much do you guys put into the start? I mean, here I am, a handicapper. If there's bumping at the start, and let's say either way, it could be a mile 70, it could be a mile, it could be
right.
six furlong.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel that a horse can recover from that. I definitely think that it's much more touchy if we're talking maybe like a quarter horse or a four furlong, something like that, two furlong race where he takes out the three horse and he's the four horse or something like that. But like a six furlong or a mile or something like that, I just think that there's always a little bumping at the start. How much do they put into that, though?
Well, it's something we looked at. I put more credence in it than maybe somebody else does, you know, because you don't know, you know.
How that affects the race?
How that affects that particular horse. You know, he could be bumped and takes it harder, or maybe he's normally lays three or four lengths off the lead, and now he's eight or ten off the lead. You know, so it definitely takes him out of his running style. So I put, you know, I put a little more, you know, the rule is to maintain a straight course, you know, and then that starts when, you know, when that latch opens, you know, when he starts the race. So I you know, but there's always some bumping, you know, almost always. I don't say always, almost always some kind of bumping, and, you know, most of it is really minor.
I've talked to you in the past. You were on the show before, and for anyone that missed that episode, I've asked you this. I don't like the judges saying, well, he could have done this or he could have done that. And you're much more of a black and white type of judge to where you're saying, just keep it straight line, and that's all I want from you. I mean, if there's something and the judges say, well, he could have come back from that, or there's no way he could have come back from that, so we're going to disregard that, or we're going to accept that.
Right.
It's much more of what they're thinking instead of what they're seeing.
You take the incident where it happens. You don't worry about what happens afterwards. You take it, did he bump this horse? Did he knock this horse off stride? And that's what you take. You don't say, well, that he didn't finish up strong. You don't take that in consideration. It's supposed to be you take the incident where it is. You know, and
now, I know not all judges agree with that, too.
Yeah, well, I remember years ago, it was in a Breeders' Cup Classic.
Right.
I had a horse coming out of the gate, wiped out three horses on the inside. I thought that was an automatic disqualification.
And they said those horses could have come back or something.
Nah,
who are you to tell
how much it impacted that horse?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. And, the other benefit, there's three stewards. So, anytime, you know, I would get any, you know, possible negative feedback from, you know, like I know a lot of customers, you know, I'm involved in the mutual department, et cetera. So sometimes, you know, maybe there's once when I walk downstairs and the guy would say, how could you take down that horse? You know, and then he would give his spiel. I can't believe you disqualified that horse. And my answer is, I agree with you, but I got outvoted. Because there's three stewards, I got to vote it 2-1. I agree with you. You know, no matter what side he's on, no matter what side he's on, you know.
Matter of fact, what side are you on?
Yeah.
That's the side I was on.
I agree with you. I got outvoted.
I'm going to go out.
You have that out.
They sit there and they wait for you. That's
scary.
Well,
sometimes I take a different way out sometimes, but I know I take a different route.
Especially if there was an inquiry that day on a favorite.
Yeah, exactly. How could you take that?
Well, I tell you what, man. The crowds have still been coming out.
I know it.
And the people love it. We've got a new thing that might pass, that horse. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's basically it's a slot, historic horse racing. It's slot machines that they have. There are slot machines that involve showing the videos of historic racing, previous racing. And they have them down at Oaklawn Park. They have them in Kentucky
now. I heard
it's
so successful, man.
Yeah, it's just like a slot machine, and they're very, very successful. So we are trying to go through the Illinois Racing Board to adopt the, you know, adopt us of having it. You know, we've tried the legislators for years. Obviously, you know, we see if nothing has been done to get a gaming bill passed to save this industry. You know, so we, you know, Brian took a alternative route and, you know, try to get this to where it could be deemed legal to have, you know, wagering on, you know, live races, which were live races. You know, they have a bank of about 35,000 races that were run in Illinois that they have in a bank because it has to be on Illinois races. So, you know, it's in committee now, and, you know, we need it. We need it to survive. It's, you know, you can see what's going on there. You know, when I came here, started here, I guess, 30 years ago, 167 days of live racing, you know, now we're down to 41.
Right.
You know, so it's and it's an industry. You know, they're killing
it. And the masses love it, man.
Oh, our attendance has been, you know, phenomenal. Like, we had like 2,500 people here the other night. You know, the attendance is, you know, the support from the crowd has been just tremendous.
And I tell you what, Bobby, we've had the Cardinals play that night on Saturday night. We've had other stuff going on Saturday night, and we've still drawn our people.
This past Saturday, because they had a big concert down at Busch Stadium this past Saturday, and they also had the over at the Gateway. Mm-hmm. They had the car race. You know, we were expecting a significant hit, and we still had like 2,400 people there. So it's just it's amazing how the area supports the place. You know, years ago, obviously, before they came up with the casinos, we were, you know, probably averaging about 5,000 people. You know, so initially it cut us down in half, but it hasn't gone down, you know, since then. You know, so that's why I hope that, you know, if they get a gaming bill passed or get these the horse racing, the slot machines, that, you know, we'll start getting more active. You know, and the whole thing is it'll generate more money for purses. You get more purses, you get better horses, and you get bigger size fields.
Right.
You know, and that's the cycle that we're looking forward to.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this. You may want to help me out with this one, but knock on wood, I don't want to curse anything now and have something happen to us, but I haven't really seen horses go down this year either.
No.
I think that significantly went down big time.
Even historically, because you think that, you know, running at Fairmont, where we have one of the cheapest purse structure in the country, that you can get the, you know, the bad horses.
Claiming 4,200. There's a hole in this horse somewhere.
Right, exactly. You know, but very, very, very few breakdowns, you know. And maybe, you know, I mean,
I think, you know,
maybe there's, the MJ, the track manager, he's done an incredible job, you know, because a lot of has to do with the surface.
Exactly.
You know, and he's got the right blend of sand and clay in there to where it provides bounce. You know, I was going to say they don't run fast enough to hurt themselves, but our times are reflective of normal times. Like the other night, we had races going down there in 111. You know, that's a normal, fast time for, you know, a lot of tracks. Mm-hmm. So it has to do with the, you know, the track man, I say, with MJ and, and the maintenance of the trainers that they, you know, take care of their horses and, you know, do their therapeutic work during
the
week.
Excellent job from the track, from MJ and the crew out there.
Right. To the grooms. Well, it's the grooms that, you know, under the supervision of the trainer that, you know, all right, stand this horse on ice today or, you know, do them up in this or do them up in that. So, you know, they're all horse-loving people. You know, they're just all advocates of horses and, you know, and they're in it for a living. So obviously you want to, you know, get that horse ready for the race as best as you can. And, you know, if he's sore, you know, you wouldn't run him. But, you know, you want to get him up to where
and that's a credit to our vet, too. I mean, our vets at the gates are looking at the horses, making sure that, you know what, if this horse isn't right looking, I'm going to scratch it.
Yeah, every horse is examined in the morning. Every horse that's in that day, there's pre-race examination where we had the vet go down and look at every horse that's in. You know, whatever their procedure is, but, you know, to deem the horse if he's, you know, and it's not difficult to get a horse out of the race if he's a little bit off. It's, you know, it's never a problem.
Right.
You know, because with the scratches, you have to have a reason to scratch, basically, and most of it is like veterinary reasons.
I tell you what, folks, if you're not from this area, and this show, we're getting love from all over Europe, from the East Coast, from Canada, from West. I'll tell you what, if you haven't been to Fairmont Park and you're traveling through here and if it's a race day, out here on a Saturday night, you got to check it out. Yeah, I mean, make a little pit stop for just a couple hours. You don't even have to stay the whole time, but you will definitely be magnetized towards this track if you're a racing fan. And you'll see these fans. I mean, I've been to Hawthorne. I've taken my horses elsewhere, and it's just not as lively. No offense to Hawthorne, but it just seemed to me like the fan base wasn't as...
They have a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
At their races.
Yeah. I mean, we got
a couple thousand.
And there's so much conviction. You like this horse. I like this horse.
Right. Everybody's there for a common goal.
Yeah.
Who do you like? You could have a guy in a suit, ask a guy in a pair of jeans. Who do you know? They're not intimidated talking to somebody.
No.
Who do you like?
Everyone gets along, man.
I've had a lot of people come out for the first time, you know, from whatever my circuit is that I meet people. And, you know, they ask about coming to the races. So, you know, I hook them up, getting them in and all that. And they all have a great time. Yeah, you know, just have a great time.
Yeah,
it's just
these
horses are magnificent, you know, in their structure, you know, and and not getting into a handicap. And I would tell them, here, there's 3 years. Each you pick a number, go do a dollar exact a box, so it's not a costly venture for them, you know. And then make $2 on your horse, you know, and have fun. It's just like a cheap date. It could be, and you could make money.
You got that right. Hey, I got to give a little shout out. I got to give a little shout out to Elizabeth Thurman. I mean, she's been at it. You're up there. You notice all these jockeys on these horses. And, you know what? She was on a losing streak for a while.
Yeah.
And she hung in there, and she got the job done. She got the job done on Avis Parker. Avis Parker was a live horse in that race, too.
Well, I think
it went
up,
off at 3-1, 4-1.
Yeah, I think so.
The morning line you had 3-1, 4-1.
Right. I think it went off in that ball game. Yeah.
And Avis Parker got the job done with Elizabeth Thurman. A big shout out to her, and she's a big fan of the show too. So and I won that bet with Jamie. Jamie said this Irish horse, if you listen to the show at all, we got an Irish horse, and it always says from Ireland on it. And he said that horse will win before Elizabeth wins. And I said, no, you're wrong. We're going to bet lunch on it. That
got lunch.
Elizabeth Thurman wins on Avis Parker. I really felt Avis Parker was the one that she wins on. So there you go.
Well, you were right, yeah. And she did a good job because she was way out of it, and then coming down the stretch, instead of, you know, pulling out and going to the outside, she made an inside move and got between horses and went going away, you know, finished strongest of all. So
when you see a horse drifting out down the stretch and it seems like it's cutting in front of another horse, but it's still on the path of winning, you might say,
right,
crossing that line.
Right.
How much do you put into that?
Well,
for that other horse behind.
And that's, you know, we've had discussion with some of the riders, you know, about that. You know, the guy cut in front of me. Well, the rule is if you're clear, you are entitled to any part of the racetrack as long as you're clear. You know, so, and sometimes, you know, the rail might be deeper than the outside, so you have guys changing path down the road, but you know, if they're clear, they're entitled to it. So it'll make the horse behind them alter their course, but they're, you know, the guy in front is within his right to, you know, you're entitled to any part of the racetrack. You know, as long as they're clear.
As long as they're clear.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes sense, too. So you're saying drift as much as you want, but
as long as you're clear.
As long as you got to be.
And you might, somebody else might.
And what is the word clear? Is it a length? Is it a half a length? What is that?
Yeah, well, a length only covers from the, you know, because you have to, it has to be like at least a length and a half, because you have to, you know, when you see the body of the horse, you know, that's one thing to look at. But you have to worry about when the horse is striding, his back legs are extended.
All right.
And the horse in front, behind him, his front legs are extending. So, you know, the biggest spills in racing are horses, they get dropped because they clip heels. So, you know, there's got to be at least like a half a length, you know, in between the back of that horse or maybe a length between the back of that horse and the front of the other horse.
You know,
because you have to consider clipping heels.
Right.
Because we had that happen a couple weeks ago where they clipped heels and, you know, horse got cut up pretty bad. You know, it resulted in a disqualification, you know, from a couple weeks ago. But that's the determination. You know, they can't just be clear by a little bit. They have to have a little space in there.
Would you say the hardest races to judge or to overlook are probably the shorter races instead of the mile 70
yes.
because you're
right.
Yeah, you're seeing separation with those long
right.
distance races.
Right, and they're not in a big hurry to get out of the gate. You know, let the horse get out. You know, I mean, obviously some of the most difficult races are the quarter horse races that we have here.
Right,
because they're you know the start is very important. So they're coming out gunning out of the gate. Where in other races, you know, it's basically just you could go by the horse's style. You know, some are closers, some are wild horses. You know, but it's not nearly as difficult. You know, coming out of the gates, you know, our starts have been like really good. We might have had only one or two all year long inquiries about coming out of the gate.
I'm telling you, honest to God, our racing this year has been safe,
clean,
and I'm not seeing a lot of objection signs being popped up. I'm
right.
not seeing a lot of inquiries being
right.
I'm seeing a new trend here. Hopefully, it continues.
Yeah.
I'd hate to say the weather, but the weather hasn't been that extraordinarily hot either this year, has it?
Well, no. I mean, it's been hot.
It's been hot, but it hasn't stayed.
Yeah, but the riders they've done a good job. You know, I mean, the other day we had a race and they were like, you know, six across up the backside. And, you know, I'm watching ahead and I'm saying, like, please stay straight, guys, you know, because when they're six across and you got these
Something's got to give,
and nothing happened. There was like no incident. So it's happened a couple times. And even a couple times on the stretch, we just had some good stretch runs.
Right.
You know, where you watch, even if it's three or four across, you know, you're saying, you know, stay straight. And, you know, they've been doing it, you know, pretty well.
That's great. Well, you know what? Now, you know, I kind of didn't want to get into the recap here, folks, because I wasn't in town. I dropped my kid off at Michigan State and I was on the road back. But, you know what? I'd like to talk a little bit about our racing coming up. And I know you're a judge. You can't give us your opinion on anything, but you can help me out with how you made this horse,
yeah.
what odds and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. Let's start off with the first race here. First race is a 1 mile 70. Is it common for you mm-hmm. as a racing director, did you just throw in a mile 70 from the get-go, or you like to keep those second, third, fourth race? What was your chemistry on that?
Well, it depends on the field. I always like to route races later, you know, when I was scheduling. But it depends on the numbers of the program, you know.
Right.
You know, like usually, you know, back then we were running maybe eight races a day, I think. But I used to always put my shortest fields in either the fourth or sixth races.
And this is a mile 70, claiming 4,000. 3-year-old and upward, which have
non-winners of the year.
Non-winners of the year. So my top selection here was the 4-horse.
Yeah. And just to go over this real quick, say something, but, you know, this is like a non-winners year for 4,000. So if they won for 32, they're eligible for the race.
Because
you'll see some horses that have won this year, and people say, wait a minute, he's not a non-winners of the year, but 3,200 is not considered an eligibility.
Okay. And there's some questions that I'd like to ask you on this, too.
Okay.
You have a horse here that I got on top, Bold Ransom,
mm-hmm.
and Molina's on this one. It's going off at 5-2 morning line,
mm-hmm.
and I got that one. But the second horse, my second pick, is the 3-horse here, Jaguar Ridge, and that's 5-1. And you made this one 5-1,
mm-hmm.
and it won the same type of race, the 3-horse, by neck. It beat Trouncer. Trouncer wasn't the...
Well, yeah, he won the numbers a year for 3,200.
Right.
All right, so it's not totally the same kind of race. And this was a tough race because you had, you know, Bold Ransom, obviously, you liked him. Then you got the...
Jaguar Ridge is
right.
what I got. And then
yeah.
I got WW Royalty, and that's James
yeah.
Moser.
Now, now he's dropping down in class because he's been running starter allowances.
Right.
Right.
And
so
that
is that. That's kind of a drop down in class. Say Jaguar Ridge. Well, I mean, he ran it. He was in the numbers the year last time. He beat like Trouncer. He went off at 4-1 against Trouncer. And I got Trouncer at 15-1.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, sometimes the Beefy, the 5-horse.
And that's
he
my
ran against Bold.
By the way.
He ran against Bold Ransom. He ran against Sergeant Green. Now, against Sergeant Green, you know, he went off as a favorite.
How much do you put into, Bobby, when you make these morning lines of that red negative little flag on the back that got something happened to the horse during that race. So you're looking at it to bounce back or something like that.
Right. I do try to look at that, you know, for an excuse of why the horse ran bad, you know, where the horse went off at the, you know, like, well, Bold Ransom, he went off his favorite last time. You know, but here, like the one horse, WW Royalty, he was in a starter race, went off at 20 cents on a dollar. But, you know, I didn't have to look at any comment there because he was in a starter allowance race.
Right.
You know, but sometimes when they ran against each other and you say, well, why was this horse favored against the other horse? You know, a lot of times, too, you know, you have to really look at it. But sometimes when you're in a non-word year for 4,000, 32 not considered, sometimes you like, you know.
But in your case, too, I know how you make the morning line. I'm kind of shocked you made this one 3-1, considering it hasn't run since almost 1 year.
That's
since been
right.
He's been at the track. You usually give these type of
right.
looks at a 6-1 or 9-2.
Right.
Three to one is still a little low on your mentality.
Right. And I do take that consideration because I think a horse needs a race. But I went back and looked. Look at his first start last year.
Right, yeah.
He went.
Yeah.
You know, so I put that in the drop in class, plus he win the first time out last year for 4,000 kind of made me, because I think initially I had him like 9-2 or 5-1.
And then I looked
at him and I said, well, he proved that they got him fit for his first start.
Right. And you also got to look at the worst he's been. In like what,
look at his
six,
odds.
Seven
right.
starts has been right. close to 6-1.
Yeah, and that was a starter allowance at Arlington.
Yeah. I mean, that's the worst. Yeah. So, yeah, he definitely does get the look at 3-1. Yeah. That's a legit play on 3-1. Yeah. So I got this one being a 4-3-1. That's Bold Ransom on top with Molina, followed by 3 Jaguar Ridge. And I'm thinking I'm going on the opposite end on the WW Royalty. I think that he may need one. To get back, I mean that one that you're looking at could have just happened on a weaker field or whatever. But in any case, that's how I got it. 4-3-1 on this one.
Okay.
Race number two. We've got a. Let me pull this up here.
Same
we've got
race.
A 6 furlong, claiming 5,000 for fillies and mares.
Now is the year for 4,000. No, it's just now is year for 5,000. 4,000 not considered.
All right. So. I went with the top pick here, and I'm chalk on this one, and I went with the 4 horse here looking for bits, and that's Lopez and Doris. And you know what? With the resume on this horse, you got an allowance optional claiming 10,000 since May of this year, and it's run 5 times, and it's getting better to where now – it looks like it belongs on this type of field.
Right.
They put it on the drop, and it competed on the drop on the claiming 5,000. They're bringing it right back here. And then you could also say it was a good track that day. It wasn't a fast track. I'm looking for bits to improve here and get the job done with Uriel Lopez. Now, in this situation, too, Santiago is off this horse because – you got Becker. He's on Becker.
Right.
And that's what we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
We got a big barn compared to Tom Doris. Doris has got a respectable barn, of course. But, again, it's a Becker barn. And
right. Santiago has first call to
exactly,
Becker.
Exactly. So I went with looking for bits on top here, followed by the 6 horse, and that is Lucky in Life, and that is Victor Santiago with the Becker camp. And I'm looking at – this horse is a little cheaper horse, but I tell you what, it gives you everything it's got. It's running the eyeballs out. They moved it up to this level. Didn't fare too well. Let's see what – and it got the crowds of money at 1-1. Did not come through. But, again, Becker knows how to get the horse back, and this is the right spot for it. I think Lucky in Life improves here and gets second. So we got a 4-6, followed by my 6-1 horse – the one horse here, and that is Bird's Eye Baby. And that's a Victor Bailon, Mike Durham. And Mike Durham, he's really come on lately.
Yeah, he's been on a roll lately.
He's been on a roll, and he's a noted type of trainer that likes to go long distance.
Correct.
Historically, this is the type.
He wins more route races here than anybody.
Exactly. And if he didn't think this horse had a shot here, he put this horse in a – mile 70 going long last time out. This horse has been running 3 races before that going short at 6 furlong. Then he knew something about this horse that, you know, he went out and took it long. And boom, right. It got the job done, won by 2.5 lengths. I like Bird's Eye Baby here to get a little bit of love.
Pick up the pieces late.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I definitely see it closing late here. And Victor Bailon, he's been off and on, but I think on this type of ride here, I think on Durham's horse, on Bird's Eye Baby, he will be showing a lot more late action here.
And there's sometimes, you know, people don't realize where, you know, Mike carries a pretty sizable offense. Sometimes he has 2 or 3 horses eligible for the same bracket and the same race. You know what I mean? So you can't run 3 in a given race. So you have to go with 1 in an alternate distance or a different type of race.
And I got the anyone out there looking for Seattle Train. I got Seattle Train picked 4th on this one as well. So that's what we got. We got a 4-6-1-7. Okay. All right, moving on to race number 3. Race number 3, we've got a 6-furlong claiming 4,000 for fillies and mare, three-year-old and upward, which have never won 2 races. All right? And I went with my monkey. My monkey. I love my monkey. And that's the 8 horse here. I went with my monkey last time. When you see this previously trained by Wells, previously trained by Redknapp, is this just on paperwork type of status? Is there something that better should look into that more? It's not previously trained as in claimed, but this is just previously trained.
Right. Well, I think it's just like you see all of his previous 4 races, or you know, a lot of them are at different racetracks. So it may be like, you know.
Some other trainer took it up there or something
like
that?
Right, somebody else took him up there, yeah. Because you see it was 2 races ago, it was with Redknapp.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of back to him. It looks like he's the regular conditioner of the horse.
Well, last time out, August 14th, gave a nice little stretch run here and almost got the job done. And this is the one I got to mention to you. This is the one that this is the type of race that I got to – get this answer from you. You got this horse at 3-1 with my monkey. I got my monkey on top.
Okay.
But then I went with Ali O'Malley. If you look at my monkey, the last time out, it finished 3rd to this horse. You made Ali O'Malley, which I have, which is a Molina Butler horse, at 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me, I look into that. I look into horses that have he's beaten and that have beaten him. And the way it's worked out before. You know, there's times when you just can't outrun that person.
Right. Well, okay, here's a horse that finished 3rd last time. He was in the same race. He went off at 16-1.
Right.
Okay? Now, he shows the previous race, he ran against 2 horses in here, and he was 15-1. You know, he's a 6-year-old that's never won 2 races. You know, so I don't put a whole lot of, you know, credit, because he's been running at this level forever. It's not that the horse is dropping down in class.
But Bobby, none of them have won 2 races here.
I say, but he's tried it for quite a long time.
He's a veteran.
So okay, so obviously I had the 3 horse in there once again because of the connections. You know, Becker Santiago. I think the public does put in there. So you know, he went off his favorite. He had a jostle start last time. So I don't know how much that, you know, I don't recall how much that impacted his race. But he figures to be the 2nd. So who did I go with 3rd? You know, it was the 4 horse.
I got the 4, Street Smarty.
Yeah.
And that's the Mayor Johnson.
And that was one of them things where, look at the odds. That, you know, even though he looks like a more of a route horse, but look at the odds. Every race he's off at 271, 281, 60 cents on the dollar. So for some reason, he always getting action.
Well, the way I looked at this one was, if we go back to May 22nd of this year, it went short. Mm-hmm. It went 6 furlongs, claiming 4,000, 2 life, and it ran a respectable race.
And went off at 2.5-1.
And it took on one of the horses here. So,
right. But they bet him down, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Less than 3-1. So
I see that. But what I'm saying is I kind of defy what you got there on that Ali O'Malley, because I really think that 12-1, and I know what you're saying. I'm not handicapping this race, Jono. I'm telling you what the public went.
Right.
All you're giving me are stats, and I understand that. But I'm telling you right now, I think Ali O'Malley can be very live here. It's coming from a live barn. The barn's been doing really good lately, 22% on Gerald Butler.
Right.
That's outstanding. Then you got They ain't got a jock here. Molina, who's fighting for
exactly
running out of days here to get the job done at being top jock here. I just don't see a 12-1 horse he would hop on if the horse did not have a shot. So I went with the 814 Street Smarty as my third choice, and the 5-horse following there, Just Charlie. Just right. Charlie? Let's see. Yeah. Well, I think Just Charlie belongs. He's on blueprint. This is what the horse is.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that's what we got here for.
Yeah, looking back, I'd say that the one's got more of a shot, the better chance of going off like 8-1 or 6-1 than that 12-1.
So you know, you're not going to be shocked if you see this horse
going off. No,
it
wouldn't shock me. You know,
I'm going to say you're looking at this horse even getting a little bit more money on this. I'm saying you're getting this horse down to possibly 9-2.
Because I have the 7-horse at 5-1. So
right,
you know, I mean, he broke his maiden by 5, but once again, it was in the cheapest race we ride over here. You know.
Right.
But then he came back and got winners and didn't run that bad, you know, because it's a big jump from breaking your maiden to non-winners of 2.
Right.
You know, so when he ran in his non-winners of 2, I thought he ran, you know, respectable in a 9-horse field.
I got you.
So it just depends, like you said, how the public's going to look at it.
Let's move on to race number 4. Race number 4, we've got a starter optional claiming $5,000 for fillies and mares, 3-year-old and upward, which have started for a claiming price of $4,000 or less in 2017. All right. And this one I went with Acrobatic Alley, the 6-horse here. And why not? I mean, you're looking at this horse running in some really tough races here. I mean, I know that you're looking at a claiming $20,000. But, again, it kind of goes up against what I'm thinking, too, because – it's running 2 state bred back-to-back here. Got the job done, 2 starts back at Hawthorne. Went to Arlington Park on synthetic, finished 4th. Got the crowd's money again. I mean, this horse is always picking up the crowd favorite. Last 5 out of 6 races, it has drawn the crowd's money. And I think Acrobatic Alley should be respectable here in this race with Victor Santiago and Scotty Becker.
Well, I think 4-5 is going to be 3-5 or 2-5 when the race goes off.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how the horse goes together. You know, obviously you have to have a little respect for, you know, Eddie Essen Price. Who'd you have second in that race?
I got Foxy's Beauty here.
Foxy's Beauty.
And I think Tavares has been outstanding of late. And I think Tavares gets the horse focused a little bit better here and gets the job done at second place. Basically, to be honest with you, I think they're playing for second place here. Hit the 1-horse, Inclador. Is that Inclador? Is that the 1-horse?
That's close enough. Yeah, that's the 1-horse. Ralphie Martinez.
Yeah, I think with the 1 and the 4, I think they're going to be going after each other. I even got the 2-horse here completing my superfecta.
Yeah, it's so, you know, the track that this horse came from, you know, it's a step above about a fair meet. So it's hard to get a line because when I was looking at this horse, I was going back more to, you know, the WRD. You know, I was looking more at that track,
because
it's a little more comparable. This FMT is nothing to me, you know.
Well, we didn't pick up Papa the FMT. But you're definitely right. You're seeing a lot of horses that have done really well there that come here, and they've been getting bounced around pretty well.
Yeah, it's hard to get a line on a horse. It's hard for me to relate to where they were, you know, versus, you know, racing at Fairmont. And they have not done, you know, well.
In this race here, I got the 6 on top here, followed by the 4-1. It could be 1-4 on this one as well. I think they're fighting for second.
Foxy Beauty last year, 5 starts, 3 wins, 2 seconds. You know?
Right.
So,
that's very respectable.
Definitely been competitive at this level.
And that's where your points come in, right? I mean, you gave a lot of points to Acrobatic Alley.
Right.
And you're saying I could have possibly even made it 3-5 or 2-5.
Right, but I thought.
But then you got to take points away from the other guys.
Right, and I thought that, you know, the 4 and the 1-4 and 1-3 and 4 were, you know, going to get some play. You know, because I was looking more at, like, the 1-horse. Well, this year at Oaklawn, he went for 8,000 claiming. You know, that's pretty significant to be in a race like this here.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be, you know, but then he ran for 4,000 last time and got beat. You know, but that was at Arlington and synthetic, so, you know, it could be a throwout race. You know, maybe didn't like the synthetic surface.
We're moving on to race number five. Race number five, we got allowance optional claiming 4,000, and this is for Illinois registered fillies and mares, 3-year-old and upward, non-winners of a race other than a maiden claiming. I'm still not. Is this waiver claiming something new? Because this is something new that I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's just kind of a silly thing where basically it has something to do with...
You can't touch my horse? Then why do we even call it a claiming?
Well, no, just to get, like if you claim a horse and there's something wrong with them and, you know, you don't run it for 60 days, you could go back in the claiming race and waive it. You know, waive the... I could be in for it without the tag. You know, so they kind of give the guy a free race, not to run in the claiming to, cover the time of the claim.
Well, this one right here, I went with Tom Doris on top here with Star Magna, with Uriel Lopez. It's the type of race that I think Uriel likes to run to. Last time out, had Santiago Bailon and Taveras on it, but I love how Lopez runs the horses out from the back. I mean, it's nice to see a jock that doesn't want to get to the front and try to dominate on a fast pace. Lopez always likes to keep 2, 3, 4, 5 back maybe, and then make a nice move at the end, and the horse really responded well to it. Star Magna last time out ran an allowance optional claiming 10,000, got the job done, and that was against Mary Jean's Wildcat. Mary Jean's Wildcat's not a bad horse. I like Star Magna on top here, followed by the 7, Royal Position, and that is...
Becker.
Victor Santiago and Scotty Becker. And one thing that turned me off about this one, and I know it's he's been in 75,000, 50,000, 75,000, another 75,000 stake. But they've all been stake races. Not state races. I meant state-bred races.
State-bred races.
And I just don't see state-bred races here, man. I mean, if we were in New York, if we were in Florida, if we were in California, I'd say, okay, state-bred, yeah, that's a tough race. Illinois state-bred, to me, I don't think so. I'm going to pass on it. I think he's very vulnerable here. I think the crowd's going to be drawn into him. I think you're going to get a nice tag on Star Magna. Other than that, I think a 7227. We got a nice exacta box here. This right. may be my exacta box play of the day here.
And all these horses are state bred in this race.
I know that, but I'm saying to you, I like seeing horses that have run not state bred races.
Right.
And if we're looking at the 2 here, the 2 has not run state bred but 2 times. And it's taken on allowance optional claiming open with no tag the last 4 times, and it's been very competitive.
Right.
So,
he's always right there, yeah.
He's always right there. I'm going for the price here. I think 3-1. You may not get 3-1. You may get this one at maybe 9-2. I think the money's going to be drawn into Royal Position. I'm just trying to beat the 7 horse here.
Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty close on the odds. You know, you're probably going to look at 8-5 and 9-5 when the smoke clears.
You think it's going to drop down in value?
I think
he's going to have his crowd too. Then Star Magna will get respect.
If you take it's a different circumstance because if you took the 5 horse, you know, say Royal a little bit tipsy. I mean, he ran against Royal Position, went off at 18-1, but that was at a mile at Arlington. You know, so I just looked at him being back home. He'll, you know, and he ran in a 30,000 claiming down at Ellis Park, but you know, it was just like getting the points down to, you know, where they would add up. Oh, the other horse to look at was the 7. I'm the 8 horse. That was the other horse that, you know, we had a discussion about
where he
was in this race last time and you didn't.
I ripped on you on that.
And I didn't even do it.
You didn't even do it.
But right. I said, let's see. I said, let's just see what happens, what the horse goes off at.
Because I called you. I go, what the hell did you do with
this? How can he make
this
horse like 9-5 or 2-1, whatever he was? I said, well, let's see what he goes off at, you know, because somebody else did the line that day when I was out of town. And I called you right after. I said, he went off at
that. Yeah, I didn't understand that one at all. And then I took the easy way out by blaming you again.
Yeah,
making the morning line. I said, if you made this one 6-1 or 7-1, then the public wouldn't have been drawn into
it. He did it off his favor. So, once again, you're talking about, like, the horses that are selected on the morning line. They've both won 2 races in their life. Now, the eight horse, a Baltimore winner. He's won four races. Mm-hmm. Four races. And even though they've been in for claiming prices, like the 5,000 area, you know, but there's just something, I told you, lifetime races are easier than open races, you know. And, you know, this is where you have to draw
you're
the line.
You're saying easier.
Lifetime races are easier than
right,
open
of course.
Claiming
yeah,
races.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right. too. And you know what? As a handicapper, I take that as one of my Bible. One of the things I really look at are horses coming from a two-life, three-life, state bred
into
open company. I think open companies pose a lot more bigger threats
it does.
In a race because they've seen much more of anything
right.
out there.
Right.
So that's what I buy into. So on this one here, race five, it could easily be a 7-2. But I got a 2-7, 7-2 here. This is a nice exacta box that I'm jumping all over here.
Okay.
And followed by the 5, Little Bit Tipsy, and the 8 horse here, Precious Cowgirl. All right. Moving on to the 6th race. 6th race, we've got a allowance, 15,000. This is a damn good race here, Bobby.
This is a good race.
This is a good
for
race
the most
here.
Part of it,
I think how God bless Raj to get this one put together because I like this race here. And I got D-Rapper on top here, Santiago Becker. And it could be easily Dandy Gal up there too because Dandy Gal beat D-Rapper last time out. And it was there was no fluke and no excuses about it. D-Rapper just got beat by Dandy Gal. And Dandy Gal really played what she was supposed to do. But on the second place here, I went with Purging Stone.
Right, look at him. Look at his record at Fairmont Park. He's at 21 starts, 8 wins, 7 seconds, and 4 thirds.
How much do you put into that, Bobby, knowing that you got a veteran like this that the crowd always banks on, the crowd always likes to bet on, but now you got a horse on the from a big barn that always brings in a live horse into a race here. Does that diffuse the veteran that always – draws the money from the fans and on the situation of first, second, or third.
Right. Well, you can see in the chart that, you know, D-Rappers finished in front of them three times that they ran against each other. But they were always so close, like a neck, a head, half a length.
I seen that. That's why I said to myself, if D-Rapper goes out there, if he's going to cross the line, there's got to be a Purging Stone somewhere.
Right.
And I went with the 4-2.
That was one of the better races of the year. Just you know, even though it was a 4-horse field, that you know, there's 3 horses within a half a length, and it was just an exciting finish.
Do you remember? I don't know if you were here. Were you here in the '80s?
Well, I've been 31 years, so I think that's in the good possibility.
No, I thought that was '90s. 31 years. That was
do your math. I come here like in '87.
Oh, 87 you did.
Yeah.
Okay, so they
probably
might 85. Okay, 85. I think you might have caught the. Horses that I used to watch, that people used to go out there and watch these, and it was like Irish Zen would take on Battle Cat.
Oh, yeah. And Forgo was around at that time.
Yes. They were always together in a race,
right.
And they all had their allegiance. They had their following. They had their followers. And
right.
It was like a gang warfare out there.
Because at that time, I used to write a lot of overnight handicaps where I'd have to sign weights to try to equalize the race. And it was always like Battle Tag and Four Tag was like,
right.
you know.
Right.
And I think at the time, I think Battle Cat started running against 4-year-old when Battle Cat was a 3-year-old. You know, at the fall, he started running against older horses, so he had to take up the, you know, consideration, the weight allowances for older horses versus the 3-year-old. So it was like some of the better races.
Right, and they always took each other on. It was a beautiful type of thing because we'd go out there with my friends, and I'd say, man, Battle Cat's going to get beat today. Yeah. And they go,
no.
BS, dude. Battle Cat's going to hang in there.
Tag.
And I'd say, like, Irish Zen's going to go out there. They're going to bring it down. Yeah. I mean, you visualize.
Yeah. And they had a following, and people look forward to them racing.
Yeah. And you know what? With Purging the Stone and D-Rapper, it kind of throws back
the memories of that. Yeah.
All right. So we got it. I went with the 4-2 and – yeah, I went with the 3. I threw in Halo Hunter there, followed by the 5. I think Dandy Gal can wear down and D-Rapper Purging the Stone. I know Dandy Gal beat all this group last time out, but I just think that D-Rapper gets back, followed by Purging the Stone.
Yeah, it's a good race. Good race.
All right, so let's move on to our finale, race number 7, claiming 3,200. And this is which have not won two races.
Of the year.
Of the year.
Or for life.
All right. So I went with Shanghai Red here. I went with Teddy Randazzo. He gets the job done. Tavares has been riding really well here. And that's the two horse on top, followed by the 8 Electric Cat, Lopez Durham at 8-1. And then we're going to finish out our trifecta and our super. And we're going with the one horse retractable, and that's Baylon Durham again, followed by the back end of my super here, and that's the 3 horse Nataneya. What the hell is that?
Not a ninja.
What the hell? How the hell I screwed that one up, Bobby?
What's hard about that?
I don't know. I start putting all the words together. I never get anything right. All right, so I went with 3 horse here on the back end here, 6-1, Nataneya, and that's Arrieta. So you see anything here that
no, it's a good race.
Why did you make this Shanghai Red 7-5?
Well, I say he ran in the same race 2 starts ago. You know, went off at $1.10.
Yeah,
to $1. Yeah. So he was the big favorite. Last time he jumped way up in class. Mm-hmm. You know, to start or launch. So, you know, looking at the field, he just looked like he was going to be bet down. He's he's always bet down, and he's got a lot of class. You know, look at his record last year, 3 wins, 3 seconds in the third. So he's 5 out of 8 on the board this time. So I think class-wise, he fits in really good.
This
was a kind of a little bit of the difficult race part this year was like, the added condition on this race, was like the 2 of the year or 4 life. Okay, so, you have a couple horses that are coming out of a lifetime race of 3 life. I think like the 8 horse, he just won his 3 life. The 4 horse, a couple starts ago, he won his 3 life. So to me, even though the claiming price is the same, like the 1 horse, 2 starts ago, he won his 3 life. So how do they size up against multiple lifetime winning horses? So it was kind of a little bit difficult for me to, say how are they going to fit in this class? How's the public going to perceive how they fit in this class? And so I went with Shanghai Red, obviously, and the other one I went with was, like Montezuma Express.
What number is that, Bobby?
Number 7 horse.
Number 7.
That was John Cox. I mean, we took him up to Prairie Meadows last time, but if you look 2 starts back, he ran in the same race with Shanghai Red and went off at 270 on a dollar, finished 3rd, about a length behind Shanghai Red. So, right. That was in a similar bracket. Then it was a matter of, what other horse to put in there. And I went with
70 starts. Wow.
Yeah.
11 wins, 14 places, and 12 shows. That's one of those type of harness horses, man. You see those type of stats.
Yeah. And I think the other horse that deserves consideration was the 3 horse.
Yeah.
Not a ninja. Now he's also, dropping down in class, going from a starter allowance into 3,200 numbers of the year. So, but I kind of look back to where
you don't respect that too much, though, do you?
No, I do, but I think the thing that threw me off a little bit was that he looks like more of a route horse than a 3/4 horse because,
right.
Most of his races that, like his win this year was going a mile. So
how much did you play into him coming from another track, too?
Well, he made the start here, the horses, Charlie's stabled here, obviously.
Right, yeah.
So they claimed the horse last time out. So,
but he hasn't run here in a while. And,
he's run in a while. So, there's a possibility he could be off a little bit less than what I've got on the morning line.
Right.
Not much, I don't think, but because
I think you're banking a little bit about how he went off last time.
Yeah, but that was a tougher race.
Right.
Plus, if I consider him more of a route horse than a sprinter, he's had 1 win and 15 starts at the 3/4 distance. So,
all right,
we'll see what happens.
That's what it's all about. You give us the lines, and that's to me a lot of people out there. That's their blueprints out there on their betting, and like it or not, dude, you are the guy that sets up the blueprints for people betting out there.
And just people got to understand, how difficult it is sometimes. Sometimes I look at a race, I have, what am I going to do here?
What the hell am I doing here?
Then I say, the other thing is, how is the public? When the race goes off, and the, you have the final odds, and that determines how, what kind of job I did.
Right.
You know, and doing this, you know, whatever many times I've done it, you know, obviously you're going to have some, you know, the public's going to bet it different than the way I saw it type of deal.
Right.
So I don't know what influenced me. Was it the, you know, was there.
But
you know,
more or less, though, Bobby, a little credit to you, babe. I mean, you have always been like one, two off. I used to do these morning
lines
with you.
Yeah, once in a while, you're going to be more. Obviously, you can't count the morning. You can't count first-time starters.
Right.
Because I'm always with first-time starters, 8, 10, 12 to 1, you know, because you just don't know. And then, but the money will show to the public, you know, if the horse is, you know, barn money will show up on that horse, you know, if they want to play it. You know, so otherwise, because I, you know, how do I know? You know, when we had the two-year-old races, I would always call the clocker and get his opinion on who in his opinion is working the best, because that's the only way, you know, they're all first-time starters, so how do I make the line? So you go into trainers that have previous, you know, a record of being good with first-time starter two-year-olds.
Right.
You know, so, right. But some of these other ones are, they're just, you know, they're difficult to do.
Wow. Well, thank you for coming on, Bobby. I think that's been a great show. And, hey, folks out there, thank you. If you're part of the Trek, thank you. You guys have done a great job, like we said earlier. MJ, excellent job on the track. Knock on wood. Nothing bad's happened to these horses.
Horsemen doing a great job.
Everyone's been doing real good. The fans are outstanding out there. Everyone's getting along. Yeah. Everyone's making things happen out there. Thank you so much. Keep cashing those winning tickets. Also, check out YoRadio.com. YoRadio.com. It's a free app of music. You got that yet? You got to look in that, Bobby.
No, I have to check it out.
Yeah, you got to. Yo, it's called Yo Radio with YoRadio.com. And got all sorts of music, man. Okay. I know you like the 70s rock music and all that.
Oh, yeah, that's me. Remind me, we only got 2 more days of live racing. You know,
2 more days of live racing.
We got tomorrow.
What are the days are? They're going to be mixed up.
Right. Well, it's different because this next Saturday, we're not racing.
No Saturday racing.
Right. We're going to run this Tuesday.
Yeah. Right.
And then we're racing on Monday, the holiday.
Okay.
You know, with 1 o'clock
we're gonna
post.
We're going to be open on Monday.
Yeah, we're going to be open on Monday. And that's it for the season.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, my friends. Keep cashing those winning tickets, and we will catch you next time.
And don't forget, if your horse is disqualified, I agree with you. I got outvoted.
Okay. You won't find him. He's got a special tunnel he runs from. You weasel. All right, my friends, take care. Bye.
Tune in next week for another episode of Race Day at Fairmount Park on the lineupmedia.fm network. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or through our website, fairmountparkpodcast.com, and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter. You're tempted.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.